Father, as we gather this morning, it's a joy to have the opportunity to come to you. And Lord, as we look at Daniel's prayer in chapter 9 again this morning, there's so much here for us, or at least there was so much here for me, Lord. And so help us to look at this prayer. It's not called the model prayer, as we call the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament, but this is such a model prayer for Old Covenant or New Covenant. And so help us to glean from it this morning. And Lord, there's so much in this prayer about giving you the glory. So we just want to begin this morning by singing a stanza or two of "To God Be the Glory." So hear our prayer and hear our praises as we lift them up to you this morning as well, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn to 273, "To God Be the Glory."
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
And I suggest that wouldn't be a bad way to begin every prayer that you have. Get your eyes off of yourself and onto him.
Amen.
Today we're going to be looking at the really supplication part of Daniel's prayer. Last week we really looked at the introduction to it. We looked at the context of the prayer. This 70 years of captivity was about over, as he read in the book of Jeremiah. And we saw where, even though it was God's promise that the captivity would only be 70 years, we see when Daniel recognized that, what did he do? Sit back and clap and rejoice? No. He went into fasting and sackcloth and ashes and prayer, praying for forgiveness and for God's mercy. And we saw the great address of that prayer, and we saw the confession of sin in it, and we saw the interchange of perfect God and sinful man in the prayer. Now, as we get today into the supplication of it, we'll begin in verse 15 and go to verse 19. And next week we'll look at the answer to this prayer, because this is one of the most phenomenal answers to prayer we have in the whole Bible. Daniel chapter 9, verse 15. "And now, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name." Now, you'll notice just a ratio between ours, and so forth, is we have less than 10 of those and we have like 20 of yours. So this prayer is truly centered on the Lord, and I think there's much for us to learn here. We see here that God is not only the object of Daniel's prayer, which most of our prayers, God's the object of it, but we see here that God is the subject of it as well. He's praying for God. We see, for your sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. I think that is just an excellent exhortation for us to pray for his church, your church, because this was his city, his sanctuary. And it's just ironical, isn't it, that here Daniel is praying for God's city and God's sanctuary, which is desolate because of man's sin. And that, of course, fits this nation. It fits this world, really. Daniel's focusing, we see here, on God's glory and not on that of himself or of man. And we see him praying here for his great mercy, not because of our righteous deeds. And so as we look at this quickly again in verse 16, O Lord, according to your righteousness, he keeps stressing the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. And how often we might get a little bit of subtle self-righteousness as we particularly pray for some of those who are so far from the Lord. And it's really easy to say, oh, I wish they had the faith that I have, or I wish they knew what I knew. And that's probably not a bad prayer in a sense, but we want to make sure that it's not filled with self-righteousness, that I saw the light and they haven't, because there was a time when we didn't see the light either. But let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing that because of the sin of the people, God has to turn his anger and his fury against his own people and against his own city and against his own temple, his own sanctuary. Because he's saying, let your fury and anger be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. It's just so awesome when we think about the effect of sin here, how awful sin is, because it destroys, it kills, it causes God's anger to be poured out, in this case, even against his own city, his own mountain, his own temple, his own people. Why? Because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers. And notice, Daniel keeps including himself in all of these sins here, and that's something that I think we should be doing as well. When we're praying for the sins of the nation, the sins of the church, and the sins of those around us, we need to be including ourselves in that, because we're still in sinful bodies, aren't we? And we don't sin because we have to anymore, but we sin because we choose to. And because of this sin, your people are a reproach to those all around us. How often is my conduct, and maybe yours at times, a reproach to those around us? Rather than bringing them to God, is pushing them away from God. Particularly any aspects of pride and self-arrogance and self-righteousness, those are so repulsive to everyone, aren't they? And then the conclusion, so to speak, now therefore, of his supplication as he gets into it, now therefore, because of all these things, what? Hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications for the Lord's sake. So hear my prayer for your sake, Lord, not for my sake. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. A beautiful request, always. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary. You know, God gave the Aaronic benediction, basically, we call it, to Aaron, to tell the people, you know, the Lord bless you and keep you, right? The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And this is used here as well. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate because of the sin of the people, because all of the nation of Israel was, or pretty much all of it, was deported in the southern kingdom to Babylon. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see. That's pretty much right, the same words that Solomon used in his prayer and the dedication of the temple. And the city which is called by your name. Talk about, in effect, a Christian nation. I mean, this is really, we're talking about God's nation here, God's people, called by their name. And then he says, we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. You know, in Exodus 34, when Moses was asking God for his name, you know, he said, what? The Lord, or the Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, what merciful and gracious. The very first description there is merciful. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. And And here Daniel is pleading for that because of your righteous, not because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. And then the simple prayer. It consists here of about six things. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. O Lord, act. O Lord, do not delay for your own sake. Isn't that amazing? How many times do you pray to the Lord, particularly when you're getting down to the deadline? Lord, for your sake. I don't. I say, Lord, for my sake. I need help today, Lord. You know, in a couple of hours, this thing's going to come down. But Daniel is praying for his sake, for the Lord's sake, not for his personal sake. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And so this is a great exhortation for us to pray for God's people, God's church, God's bride. You know, Paul has this great prayer in Colossians, as you know very well, and he's praying for the believers, isn't he? He's praying for fruitfulness in every good work. And I think, in addition, as we've often said, pray for the lost, absolutely. Pray for their hearts to be open, absolutely. But also pray for the found. Pray for the believers to be fruitful. Who's going to reach the lost today? The Lord is using the believers to reach the lost today. And so, what do we have? 300, 400, 500 million believers around the earth today on 7 billion people. If all of them would tell one or two people about the Lord, think of what that would mean. So, we need to pray for that, I think. So, in summary then, are your prayers fervent and serious with expectancy? Are you saying, O Lord, do not delay? O Lord, act? And is God not only the object of your prayers, but the subject of your prayers as well? And what is the ratio of I, me, and my to your and yours in your prayers? By my righteous deeds or your great mercy, Lord? And are you often praying for his church, his bride? What does the church really need? I think it needs God. We can talk about all the needs of the church, but what we really need is to turn to the Lord, isn't it? And look to him. And are we focusing on our glory, man's glory, or are we so totally focusing on his glory? Father, we thank you for this prayer in the book of Daniel, and it does encourage us and exhort us to pray and to intercede. And Lord, we're quick to ask for forgiveness of our sins, as how can we pray with sin present? Because sin separates, sin's blocks. And so, Lord, we begin with forgiveness this morning, asking for forgiveness if we confess our sins. You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we come to you not in any self-righteousness at all, which is as filthy rags, but may we come to you clean, forgiven, humble, really as dust, really, apart from you, but coming in your mercy and crying out for your mercy as we will lift these supplications to you this morning, as you put on our heart to pray. And may we pray for your church. May we pray for the leaders of the world, the leaders of this nation, the leaders of this state, the pastors here, Lord, our pastors, Chuck and Bob Hoekstra and others, Lord, as you would lead us in prayer. And Lord, there may be other situations here that you'll put on each of our hearts. And Lord, may we keep our prayers short. And because if we're really responding to you, you usually don't give us paragraph upon paragraph. It's usually just an idea or two. And while any one of us are praying, Lord, may the rest of us just totally be in agreement, not thinking ahead, oh, I'm going to say something really wise and smart, which isn't anyway, but Lord, that we are responding to your Spirit, so we're all in one accord, regardless of who you're speaking through. So lead us now, Lord, lead us now in this time of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.